Ladies and gentlemen, welcome aboard. This is Mike Piper coming to you from Washington here on this May 16th. It's a Wednesday. I can hardly believe it. Oh, boy, this month is flying by. We're almost halfway into the year. For me, it's been a very traumatic year for a variety of nuisances and personal difficulties. But you know what? I'm very much alive and very much healthy, much to the regret of my enemies and maybe even a few of my friends. But in any case, we are moving along here. And, you know, it's been the last year has been rough for the Republic Broadcasting Network, too. I don't need to go into those sorry details, but it was of no fault of anybody at RBN that the problems that happened at RBN did happen. And RBN is making its way back. So I hope you will continue to support RBN because it's very important. You know, I was just talking to my producer, Ken, off the air here, and I was pointing out that, you know, for all these years I've worked for American Free Press and worked with, before that, much longer, of course, the Spotlight, and American Free Press wouldn't exist today if it weren't for the support of the good people who stuck with American, who stuck with the people who are now editors of American Free Press after the Spotlight was run out of business. Again, through no fault of the Spotlights. And, you know, for all those years when the Spotlight had massive, massive numbers of supporters and readers around the country, that is what kept us alive. Very few papers today, independent alternative papers like this, like American Free Press, have the readership numbers. And, you know, I've heard critics of American Free Press say that we don't try to grow and that we're being held back, that we're not allowed to grow, that we've cut deals, that we're only going to grow so much. Well, that's absolute crap. We spend tens of thousands of dollars yearly, probably $100,000 a year, which is hard to come by, sending out prospecting letters to hundreds of thousands of people. And you know what, folks? If you mail out a letter to 100,000 people asking them to subscribe to your publication and you get a 1% response, this sounds incredible. 1% of 100,000. If you get a 1% response in any direct mail campaign, that is considered a success. Think about that. A 1% response is considered a success in the direct mail business. Talk to any direct mail expert you can find, and they'll tell you that. But the point is this, folks. Independent ventures like American Free Press and the Idaho Observer, and, of course, the Republic Broadcasting Network only exist because of your support. No other way that can happen. That's why it is so important. It is so important. I can't overemphasize it. All right, well, we're going to be going to a break here, folks. And when we come back, I'm going to give you an extended history lesson. I'm going to play history professor today and bring you a slice of American history. In fact, American Jewish history. Just like President George Bush wants us to celebrate this month of May. Stay tuned, folks.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Hey, America, how does it feel to be flushed down the toilet of political intrigue and treachery into the sewer of slavery and bondage, where perverts and the godless write the rules? Our unborn children are murdered, our esteemed elders are euthanized, and everyone in between is numbered and tracked like criminals so they can be farmed by government, credit, healthcare organizations, like the chicken farmer farms his chickens. Have you had enough? Is it time to declare your liberty? It's your choice, you know. The only place to begin to declare your independence is to have enough food stored so that you never have to go stand in a bread line to give away the rest of your life or sell your children for a bowl of rice and a slice of bread. Call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
Welcome back. Michael Collins Piper here. You know, it's hardly 24 hours since Jerry Falwell's carcass was sent off to the mortuary, and the world still exists. Isn't it amazing, folks? I would have thought that this guy who had such intimate contact with God, I would have thought his departure would have caused earthquakes. But it hasn't. We do have some internet interference here in the Washington, D.C. area, but I think that has to do with a rainstorm. And, you know, I did have a hell of a fever last night, which broke about 1 o'clock in the morning. And, you know, as that fever broke, I was thinking that heat that I was feeling was very, very close to that which Jerry Falwell is now experiencing. In any case, folks, I'm going to give you a history lesson here tonight. President Bush, as you know, if I sound repetitive, it's a reminder to those who are new listeners, and I hope there are new listeners tuning in every night out there, not to just my program, but this whole network. Remind you that this month has been declared American Jewish Heritage Month by President Bush. And I want to tell you a very interesting story about the third Jewish governor in America, named Franklin Moses. He was governor for several years in South Carolina. Now, what's interesting is this is a story that should be pretty well known, but you only can find it if you look in the right places. And I wrote a piece for the Barnes Review History magazine some years ago about this, and I dug that story up today because, again, it's an interesting story from American Jewish history that needs commemorated, but strangely enough, it has not been in the key books on the subject of Jewish history in America. I first heard about Governor Moses in a very colorful book called Professional Criminals of America that was put together by the former police chief of New York City's Detective Division from 1880 to 1895. And I started doing some research into Governor Moses and found that actually there was very little to be found. Now, here's what's interesting about this. Governor Moses is mentioned in a key book on the history of American Reconstruction, Claude Bauer's book, The Tragic Era, about the Reconstruction Era. And he describes the political heyday of Franklin Moses as the golden age of stealing in South Carolina. Now, Moses was actually the third Jewish American to serve as a state governor. He was preceded by David Emanuel, who served as governor of Georgia in 1801, and by Michael Hahn, who was governor of Louisiana in 1864 to 1865. But what's interesting is that Moses, at his time frame, was far better known and far more widely publicized than either of these other fellows. Now, what's interesting is that there are like four key books, three or four notable volumes on the topic of the Jewish role in American political affairs. And what's interesting is that you can barely find Mr. Moses. Nathaniel Whale, in his book, The Jew in American Politics, published by the conservative Arlington House Publishers, has chapters on the Civil War and the Gilded Age. But Moses is conspicuously unnoticed, despite his infamy during the Reconstruction era. Now, 1974, Stephen Isaacs, a writer for the Washington Post, wrote his book, Jews in American Politics, and he has a list of elected governors of Jewish descent, but he does not mention Franklin Moses. Now, I commented when I wrote this for the Barnes Review that maybe we can excuse the author for not mentioning Moses as an elected governor, because the circumstances of how Moses came to the South Carolina State House can better be described as theft, or, as I said more generously, as a purchase. Now, a more recent book on the topic, Jews in American Politics by Sandy Mazel, this was published in 2001, never mentions Moses at all in its list of Jewish governors. And then there's the book by Harry Golden. He's a highly regarded Jewish American writer since deceased. In 1974, he wrote a book called Our Southern Landsmen. Landsman, L-A-D-N-S-M-A-N, is a Yiddish term for referring to fellow Jews. Well, this book is described as a history of the South's influential Jews, but it doesn't mention Moses. Now, what's funny is, if you do an internet search of Moses, and there are a few references to him, the one reference that does mention his religion lists him as an Episcopalian. But you see, the problem with that is, that's not correct. In fact, Moses, Franklin Moses, came from a very distinguished Jewish family in South Carolina. And, you know, what's interesting is that, as I say, despite the fact that during Reconstruction, he was a notorious figure. And, of course, Reconstruction was that period when so many radical Republicans in Washington with their southern allies, who were called scallywags, Moses was a notorious figure in South Carolina, and he was a nationally known figure to the extent that he was in power for 4 years in South Carolina. And this is very, very interesting, because there is an American Jewish professor named Ginsberg who wrote a very interesting book, The Fatal Embrace, which is a very candid review of the role of American Jews in American politics, does say some interesting things about Mr. Moses. And it talks very frankly, Mr. Professor Ginsberg talks very frankly, of the racketeering and corruption. Just they called him the robber governor. The guy would call up, in one case, he called up his own militia. He had black militias to guard his residence and office. So this guy was just absolutely one big-time racketeer. Claude Bowers, in his book, The Tragic Era, writes, "The corruption in state bonds, criminally issued and divided among official gangsters, mounted into the millions, but bribery and bond looting was not enough for this avaricious horde, which had recourse to pay certificate steals." It went on and on, folks. Absolutely outrageous. And the thing is, even the New York World at the time, talking about Mr. Moses, said that within 2 years he would take the last sap out of the tree. And that is precisely what he did. This guy bought he purchased a gigantic mansion, furnished it with elegance, maintained the grounds and buildings perfectly, and indulged himself in every luxury. Driving through the streets in expensive equipage drawn by a span of the finest horses, he conveyed the impression of opulence. He was living at the rate of about $40,000 a year. That was a lot then. And while his debts had reached almost a quarter of a million, he was not without resources in the crimes he was committing. A natural actor in the princely role, a correspondent described his domestic establishment. They said in the presence of a minister or bishop, he was all piety and humility, and the good man was impressed with his sanctity and the charms of a pious household. It went on and on, folks. They finally kicked Moses out as governor. I think that was probably a delight to the people of South Carolina. But you know, what's interesting is, even after he left South Carolina, he went north to New York and west to Chicago. He went up as far as Massachusetts, arrested time and again for passing bad checks, defrauding people, swindling a preacher. He was sent to jail for 3 months in that case. On and on and on. What a character, folks. But Moses has been relegated to the memory hole. This was America's third Jewish governor at a fevered time in American history. And at the time, he was very big in the press. But today, when you go onto the Internet and try to find out anything about Franklin Moses, you ain't going to find it. And if you go to the authoritative mainstream histories published by eminent publishing houses and written by eminent Jewish writers, for some reason, they have frozen Franklin Moses, out of the picture. Talk about the Orwellian memory hole. Now, I think that's an interesting little story, folks. Interesting, if anything, precisely because of the fact that he has been edited out of history. Just as I told you the other day that Congressman Louis Charles Levin, one of the first Jewish congressmen ever elected to office, and a leader in the fight to keep Irish Catholics out of the United States, was a leader in the Know-Nothing Party. Now, as I always say, I look at patterns, folks, and it looks to me as though this is a pattern of deception. I guess they want us to believe that there are only statesmen who are elected if they happen to be Jewish, people such as Joseph Lieberman, whom the late Jerry Falwell, the late unlamented Jerry Falwell, once described as a splendid choice for vice president. That's right, Jerry Falwell thought Joe Lieberman was just a splendid choice for vice president. Well, I can't say that Joe Lieberman is quite in the same class as Reconstruction's most infamous scallywag, Franklin Moses of South Carolina, but certainly an interesting character, Moses and Lieberman, and of course, Louis Charles Levin. Well, folks, that's your history lesson. And we are going to go to the callers when we come back from the break. Bear with me, folks. This is Michael Collins Piper. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm coming to you from Washington.
Stand up and be counted. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq. Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies to take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants, like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering.
Eating a well-balanced diet filled with whole foods is sometimes hard to achieve, so supplementation can be beneficial. But WholeFoodToday.com believes that if you want to supplement, you should be doing so with products made from complex and natural whole foods, which the body can recognize and utilize as food, rather than with synthetic formulas of isolated vitamins made in chemical factories. Whole Food Today is dedicated to bringing you the finest health products at an incredible value. Nutrient formulas for men and women, super green food formulas made from over 30 vegetables, legumes, sprouts, immunity health formulas, coconut oil, krill oil, and many other products made 100% naturally. Visit us today at www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. That's www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. Whole Food Today offers free shipping to all orders anywhere in the continental U.S. Whole Food Today, empowering people to attain and maintain extraordinary health.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Michael Collins, Piper here. We've got a full lineup of callers. Just have one more thought. It occurs to me that Jerry Falwell is finally going to meet some other like-minded people. You know, he's now with Meyer Lansky and Bugsy Siegel and David Ben-Gurion and, good Lord, James Jesus Angleton, Lyndon Johnson. They're all together now, folks. They're all standing there waiting to welcome Jerry Falwell home. Okay, let's go to the callers. We have Country Boy in Indiana. We haven't heard from you, Country Boy, in a while. What's been going on?
Howdy. Hey, I wanted to comment on two magazine articles. First of all is the American Legion magazine, May 2007, Alan Dershowitz's article, Minimizing the Holocaust, the small caption, How Enemies of the West Are Succeeding at Dismissing History's Darkest Hour. I have no idea why this is in a veterans magazine. Let me read you two sentences that form a paragraph. Still others, including historian Friedrich, try to deflect German guilt for the Holocaust by claiming moral equivalency between the Allied bombings of Dresden and the extermination of the Jews and others others by the Reich. Second sentence. The view completely disregards that Dresden, while taking a terrible civilian toll, was a legitimate act of belligerent reprisal for the relentless bombing of civilians in London and elsewhere. This dude, to write that off, Dresden, and then especially to come in other words, when we do something, it's all right. When the other guys do something, it's bad. You fast forward to Iraq, okay? The U.S. military was ordered to attack Fallujah, Iraq, by President Bush in reprisal for the deaths and desecrations of contractors. Now, Mr. Dershowitz, I guess, doesn't remember that after the Second World War, Professor Dershowitz, that the Geneva Convention came out with articles specifically saying that it is a war crime to have acts of reprisals by governments. And yet we just had that a couple of years ago. And my friend, as long as the other guys, when the other guys do it, it's evil, it's terrible. But when we do it, it's a legitimate act of a government.
You know, I saw that article, Country Boy. Somebody sent me that. And you know what's interesting? My reaction to it was precisely yours. What is it doing in the American Legion magazine? It was like out of context. It was like a big red sore swollen thumb sticking out there. And, you know, I tell you, it's the kind of thing that is not a surprise when you consider the fact that several years ago, the American Legion, there were attempts to get a resolution through an American Legion convention commemorating the attack on the USS Liberty, and people fought it tooth and nail.
Right. The government chartered Veterans Services Organization are not there for the veterans. They're not there for the truth. They're to cover up for the powers that be. And Dershowitz, it's guys like this, not going into the article. The biggest thing you could call them is evil. Evil. Let me give you another example of someone of the same ilk. It amazes me that these periodicals print this type of stuff. Time Magazine, 14 May, by John McCain, General David Petraeus. And I don't even think that people that read this believe this stuff. Speaking of Petraeus, most recently he worked with the soldiers, Marines, and outside experts to draft a new counterinsurgency field manual, the blueprint of U.S. efforts in Iraq today. The effects of the general's determination and intelligence are already making a difference. There's a sense of optimism, and it says, he is our best reason to hope that we might yet avoid a catastrophe of an American defeat in Iraq. Now, I hope that the American people are not stupid enough to believe what they see on television and in the corporate media. And then I was thinking, why would anybody say that one man is going to be able to turn things around? And then about an hour ago, it came to me. Maybe they are attempting to condition people to receive and to accept an Antichrist-type person. In other words, he's going to show up, and they're going to sell him as the answer to everything. That's the only reason why I think that they would do something like this.
Well, maybe, and I only say this somewhat facetiously, maybe 3 days from now, Jerry Falwell is going to come back from the grave. But I think you're on to something there because, we are conditioned. They do condition people to look for a savior.
Yeah, this guy ain't saving nobody there. You cannot win a guerrilla war. And McCain, the great POW naval aviator, is going to be writing stuff like that?
Frankly, I don't think John McCain writes it himself, but the point is well taken, you know.
To be attributed to him, and you know.
Yeah, of course, yeah. They think it's what's the old saying? It's like whistling past the graveyard. They think that if they whistle long enough and loud enough and hard enough, that it's going to scare the boogeyman away, but in this case, the boogeyman is ourselves because we've inserted ourselves into something that was inevitable. Country Boy, stay on there for the break. This is Michael Collins Piper coming to you from Washington. We're taking your phone calls here, folks. Got a full lineup. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the task force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately one in four families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
A message for all homeowners and prospective homeowners out there. If you reside in Arizona, Colorado, New Mexico, California, or Utah, we can help you with financing the purchase of a new home or refinancing your existing mortgage. We now have a wide array of lenders for your purchase or refinancing needs. If you are looking for a cash-out refinance from an adjustable to a fixed-rate loan, paying down credit card debt, consolidating installment or other debt, or been wanting to invest in the safe haven of gold in the silver market but you've been sitting on the fence waiting for the right time, whatever your reason, give RBN a call and ask to talk to our mortgage professional. He can help you find a plan that fits your needs while he walks you through the process very simply and easily. You couldn't choose a better time to pay down debt or purchase gold and silver. And not only do you accomplish your goal, but you also help to support RBN in continuing to voice the truth. Don't wait any longer. Call us now at 1-800-724-2719. Again, that's 1-800-724-2719.
All right, folks, welcome back. Mike Piper here, coming to you on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We've got Country Boy aboard. Now, Country Boy, I just saw in the paper today that Michael Bloomberg, the mayor of New York City, is apparently thinking he's worth about $5 billion. At least that's what he admits to. He's thinking about running a third-party presidential campaign, and he's apparently willing to spend $1 billion of his own money to get elected president. Now, this guy is the mayor of New York City. He's not some zany billionaire like Ross Perot. This guy is an elected official, the largest city in the United States, one of the largest cities in the world, and that alone gives him a certain amount of credibility. Do you think it's possible? Do you think it's possible that the American people who are so enamored with wealth, do you think that they would buy this guy's act and elect him as a third-party candidate?
No, hey, anything in New York, it ain't going to play past Pennsylvania. Him and Giuliani are out.
We've also got Hillary Clinton from New York, too.
Yeah, all right, you're right there, but...
you see, that's the problem
here.
You
stumped me on that one, but them other two, they ain't moving anything. Let me make two more points
here
quickly. Hey, on the last, to show you this Felix Frankfurter, professor of law at Harvard University, Mr. Dershowitz, his last paragraph, Holocaust denial is anti-truth, anti-Semitic, anti-American, and anti-democracy. In America, where free speech prevails, Holocaust deniers have the constitutional right to express their bigoted views. But all decent Americans have the obligation to defeat them in the marketplace of ideas. See, this guy in the same... He is backing hate speech laws where you can't question anything. Right here he's telling you, really, you do have freedom of speech, and we can defeat them in the area of ideas or arena of ideas just as long as we tell you what kind of ideas you could put in the arena.
Exactly. You know, I like I said, I had read that article, and that closing paragraph that you quoted there summarizes it all quite well when you look at it in the context of what Dershowitz is all about. He's all in favor of freedom of speech as long as he can determine what you're allowed to talk about.
You know, I don't want these clowns over in Harvard Law School are, but if I can shoot word arrows through his reasoning, I don't understand why he is a professor there. But finally, you know, with all of these people, you always want to come up with terms to describe them, but probably liar or evil is the best. But in closing, in Proverbs, out of the New English Bible, chapter 12, verse 22, the Lord detests a liar, but delights in an honest man. And the best way to describe these people like Dershowitz is that they are detestable, and not only to thinking people, but to the God of the Bible himself.
Well, you know, country boy, about Alan Dershowitz, you know, I don't like to make judgments about the way people look. Because, you know, some of us, like you and I, are lucky. We're pretty good looking. And there's a lot of people out there who are, frankly, pretty ugly. But I tell you what, you take a look at Alan Dershowitz, he is ugly from a very deep spiritual sense. That guy, when you look at him, you might as well be looking at your classic picture of the devil. So anything that comes out of Alan Dershowitz, in this case, you can judge a book by its cover. And it's a pretty rotten, dirty book. And I guess probably the closest analogy for a book title could be the Talmud. That's what you're getting out of Alan Dershowitz.
All right, thanks for taking my call. Have a
great
week.
All right, thanks, country boy. I appreciate that call. All right, let's go to Ed from Ohio. Ed, come on up.
Hello, Michael.
Hey, Ed, what's going on?
Okay, I'm glad the country boy stopped Bloomberg at the border of Ohio.
Okay. What do you think about Bloomberg?
I don't know much about him. Is he connected with Bloomberg radio or news?
That's exactly who it is.
Okay.
Yeah, you see, I guess what I'm saying is that my fear about somebody like that is that, you know, a lot of Americans say, well, if this guy is mayor of New York City, he got elected to a public office, and, you know, he's got all this money, he must be a good businessman, he must be able to run things. You know, this is the thing. We look at someone like that. You know, those of us who know better, you know what he represents and know what a real danger he is. But, you know, the average American, they look at him and say, hey, he's a success. Maybe he can make this country run better. Anyway, just a thought. You called me, though.
Right. Thank you for that history lesson. I'm glad to see that you, are at least trying to obey the president on some of what he's
Absolutely.
Doing.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I don't think that George Bush is wrong on everything.
In any case, now, did you have another comment? Or
oh, yeah. I've got something to read for you. It might take me about a minute and a half, if that's okay. And then I'd like to question you about it.
All right.
Okay. This is written by a particular individual, and I'd like to read this from a book that he wrote.
Okay.
On the other hand, a man who possesses the art of correct reading will, in studying any book, magazine, or pamphlet, instinctively and immediately perceive everything which, in his opinion, is worth permanently remembering, either because it is suited to his purpose or generally worth knowing. Once the knowledge he has achieved in this fashion is correctly coordinated within the somehow existing picture of this or that subject created by the imagination, I don't agree with the word created there, but I'm just quoting it here.
Yeah.
Created by the imagination, it will function either as a corrective or a complement, thus enhancing the correctness or the clarity of the picture. Then, if life suddenly sets some question before us for examination or answer, the memory, if this method of reading is observed, will immediately take the existing picture as a norm, and from it will derive all the individual items regarding these questions assembled in the course of decades, submit them to the mind for examination and reconsideration until the question is clarified or answered. Only this kind of reading has meaning and purpose. And then I'll skip the next part. He was talking about a similar subject, and then he said, since my earliest youth, I have endeavored to read in the correct way, and in this endeavor, I have been most happily supported by my memory and intelligence. Now, I'd like to ask you about this individual. Does this sound like a madman, or does he sound like... how would you describe him based on what I read to you?
That's an interesting question because, I'm a pretty voracious reader, and I can read pretty fast, and I have a good memory too, and I'm usually able to take a lot of things and put them all together. So I kind of kind of know where that guy is coming from.
Okay. Would you describe him to be insane, or would you describe him in some other way? How would you describe him?
Well, I would say, for want of a better term, I would say quite rational, I guess.
Okay. Well, that's interesting that you said that, Michael. Do you know who I just quoted?
No.
I'll give you a hint. This is my third installment in what I have been calling, I'm trying to think of what I call this now, fun with the word anti-Semitism. Does that give you a hint?
Not really.
Okay, this was a man that stood up for his people, and he was the, I guess I'm just going to come out and say it, let me see if I can give you a hint. He defended his country against the provocations of Roosevelt.
Well, that sounds like Adolf Hitler to
you
me.
Got it, Michael. It's the Reichskanzler of National Socialist Germany, Adolf Hitler.
That doesn't surprise me because I found a very interesting article years ago talking about Hitler, and he was a voracious reader himself. One of his boyhood friends talking about Hitler said, "Books, books, books." Adolf was always surrounded by books.
Well, he was an observant man. He cared about his country, and that was from Mein Kampf, and I've probably mentioned this to you before. After I read that book, and while I was reading it, I believe that I was reading one of the clearest thinking minds that I have read. Not necessarily the clearest, but one of the clearest thinking minds I have read. And it's interesting that you did not take him to be a madman, and neither did I.
Well, no, because as I say, let's see. If I had said I thought he was a madman, I would be confessing that my own reading style and assimilation style is that of a madman. But then, of course, there are those who say I am a madman.
Well, I like that quote. I think it basically teaches us how to think, and I believe that if there's one thing that some persons would like us to do, is that they would like us to shut down our thinking process.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Well, thanks for taking my call,
Yeah,
Michael.
Thank you very much.
Okay, have a good night.
That's a very interesting quotation. Okay, we have, Jim from Texas. Jim, what's going on?
Hello, Mike.
How you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm doing all right. Hey, Falwell is going to return in 3 days, and he's going to return on the Learjet bought by the Israeli government, and he's going to land in Washington, D.C. amid wild acclaim from all the politicians, in my opinion.
I'm glad you mentioned that Learjet. I meant to mention that myself, yeah. Menachem Begin loved Jerry Falwell so much that he gave him a Learjet. That's a pretty good deal. That's what you call a sweet deal.
And how many people know this? How many of the Falwell and Robertson and Hagee and LaHaye and all these stupid people out there, how anybody could follow them? I wouldn't follow them into the old saying, a Chinese whorehouse with a ton of rice.
But there's no way. But, Jim, there are so many people, if they were to hear that Jerry Falwell got a Learjet from Menachem Begin, they would say hallelujah.
Well, that tells you the sad state of American affairs.
Yes,
I'm
it
sorry.
Does. Very but much
I,
so.
I have a suggestion for you. You might want to write a book called A Synopsis of Jewish American History, and you would start it with Lord Cornwallis when he surrendered at Yorktown, who stated, on his surrender, he stated that, "You have won the day, gentlemen, but in a few short years we will be back in control." Okay? This is what he told him, and he was absolutely right, because he was talking about the Bank of England, the American Jewish bankers, in a few short years they'd be back in control, and except for a period here or there with Andrew Jackson when he destroyed the either the first or the second Bank of America, I don't remember which, but it was fought back and forth through the 18th century. But in 1880, from then on, when the Jews from Southern Europe and Eastern Europe invaded the United States in ungodly numbers, and the Jewish bankers already here took control, it was a fait accompli, so to speak. It was over and done with. And with Theodore Roosevelt, who was Imagine this. He was asked to run as a bull moose party in order to ensure that Woodrow Wilson would win the election.
And that is exactly what happened.
Exactly what happened, but nobody understands this, and they've been in control since 1913, total and absolute control.
Well, now, Jim, since you're from Texas, I want to digress for a moment. I want a Texan, an input from a Texan on this. You know, there is a Texan running for president named Ron Paul, and the word is out on the Internet, according to Eric John Phelps and his colleagues, that Ron Paul is actually an agent of the Vatican working to cover up the Vatican control of the United States. Did you have any comments on that?
Well, yeah, because that's absolutely correct. He's an agent of the Black Pope, the Green Cardinals, the Chartreuse, Monsignors, and all these other stupid groups that people make up that actually control nothing. I mean, how many cardinals or bishops or monsignors or anything else control the major news media? You can't name one. There's always the same people controlling the media.
Why do people take Eric John Phelps seriously? I've never been able to figure this out.
Why do people take Daryl Bradford Smith seriously?
Touche.
Or Eric Hufschmidt. I can't imagine Christopher Blinn until I found out from you, thank goodness, that he spent 2 years in a kibbutz. A kibbutz is a fancy name for a commune. Communism, commune. That's what they did when they settled Israel. They established communes, but they call them kibbutzes, so everybody says, well, gee, a kibbutz, that's a wonderful thing. You know what? No, it's not. It's the exact same communism they had in Russia and Eastern Europe. And it's the exact same thing, and nobody understands that.
You know, that's funny you point that out because, you know, so many American conservatives who are so wrapped up in Israel, you know, Israel for years was the only state in the Middle East where there was a legal communist party. And yet so many of these American conservatives think Israel is the greatest thing since sliced bread. These American conservatives who don't like Red China, and yet it was Israel that was selling weapons to Red China, helping Red China build up its military. But they just look the other way when confronted with these funny little facts.
And the Arabs hated communism. They want no part of communism. They detest it to the 10th degree. But nobody understands that Israel come in there and established a kibbutz. Oh, what a wonderful kibbutz. All these wonderful, innocent, horribly picked on victims of the Holocaust, of which they slaughtered every Jew in Europe, but unfortunately 3 million of them just appeared in Palestine miraculously.
And you know, it's funny, and every single one of them seems to have worked at Auschwitz with Dr. Mengele in the hospital.
Right. He absolutely picked them out. You go to the left, you go to the right. This is such a stupid story that, I mean, more people should believe in the Easter Bunny than believe in this story that they tell. And nobody can get it. Nobody sees the whole picture. Nobody sees that this is stupid. This is a stupid lie told by a bunch of stupid liars that has, you know, well, Hitler described it when he said the big lie. If you tell a lie so preposterous that nobody could possibly believe it, they'll say, well, you know, nobody would say that unless it's true. I mean, it's so preposterous, it must be true. Because nobody would say that. It's like you saying that you're the long-lost king of England. I mean, somebody might believe it. I wouldn't.
Well,
especially,
you know,
being you're Irish.
That's what it comes down to. Just keep lying, and I guess the only thing we can do is just keep exposing the lies. Well, Jim, I got to move on. Thanks for your call. All right, we got Bob in D.C. Bob, we have a break coming up, but I'll hold you over. Come on up, Bob.
Thanks, Mike.
Yeah, go ahead. We have a minute or so before the break.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
I've got post-its all over the place, and I got to do some editing here.
Okay.
I got to tell you, the thing that scares me is about Bloomberg. You know, $5 billion can buy an awful lot of politics.
Uh-huh.
And as far as a new political party, well, you know, what would happen if he started one of these two? Either the Christian Democrats or the Christian Republicans. You know, that just sends shivers up and down my spine.
Oh, I mean, I think a lot of people would be willing to buy a third party with a you know, a legitimate candidate who's not, you know, a lot of people perceive Ross Perot as being kind of kooky. But, you know, he still got, what, 20, 25% of the vote? Maybe that's a little bit more than he got, but one never knows. Bob,
yeah, he made a difference.
For the break here.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, this is Michael Collins Piper. We're going to a break. Stay tuned, folks.
Catholic priest calls on Catholics and Christians to resist an unjust attack against Iran. Father John Martinez, a Catholic priest, speaks out to declare the Catholic Church's true teaching, that it would be a mortal sin for Catholic soldiers to attack Iran. In a one-hour lecture, Father John Martinez warns about the Jewish plot to rule the world and to use the United States to ignite the flames of World War III by its satanic plan to unjustly attack Iran. He exposes that George Bush is Jewish and how Congress is controlled by the Jews. Father John Martinez gravely warns of nuclear weapons being used by the United States and the threat of the possible end of the world. For additional information on how you can help stop World War III, order Father John Martinez's CD entitled An Unjust Attack on Iran, available for $10 by Father John Martinez. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for the address. Eating a well-balanced diet filled with whole foods is sometimes hard to achieve, so supplementation can be beneficial. But WholeFoodToday.com believes that if you want to supplement, you should be doing so with products made from complex and natural whole foods, which the body can recognize and utilize as food, rather than with synthetic formulas of isolated vitamins made in chemical factories. Whole Food Today is dedicated to bringing you the finest health products at an incredible value. Nutrient formulas for men and women, super green food formulas made from over 30 vegetables, legumes, sprouts, immunity health formulas, coconut oil, krill oil, and many other products made 100% naturally. Visit us today at www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. That's www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. Whole Food Today offers free shipping to all orders anywhere in the continental U.S. Whole Food Today, empowering people to attain and maintain extraordinary health.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Michael Collins Piper here. We're wrapping up the hour. We have got Bob from D.C. aboard with us. John, come on, or Bob, come on back up.
Yeah, Mike, I'm back. The reason I initially called is you mentioned Harry Golden before, the author.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he wrote a book once about what I have to consider really an epitome of Talmudic morality. The name of the book was The Lynching of Leo Frank.
I remember that, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And, you know, Leo Frank, I mean, we just have to remember him in this Jewish Appreciation Month because he almost single-handedly was the guy who started the ADL, although I don't think that was his intention. When he raped and murdered that little 12-year-old Megan Fagan. And we should all not laugh about that. We should remember it. And, you know, these guys are so arrogant. He did it either close by or within earshot or even possibly even eyeshot of his black sort of a slave-like janitor. And the janitor's the one who's witness and testimony finally put him away. And that crooked governor down there, Slayton, who commuted his death sentence to a life imprisonment, didn't do him any good.
You know, that's interesting because, you know, the legend, the popular legend is that this poor, innocent Jewish businessman was lynched for a crime he did not commit. No, he was lynched because the people were not going to go along with letting him get away with the crime that he did commit.
Yep.
And, you know, some years ago, and I have the book somewhere, mm-hmm. One of Mary Fagan's descendants wrote a book about the case and said, yes, this guy was guilty. The author outlined all the evidence pointing towards the guilt of this guy. And yet, to this day, if you mention Leo Frank to anyone who has any knowledge of history at all, they think that this man was innocent. And nothing could be further from the truth.
That was by Mary Fagan's niece.
Yes,
I believe. It was called Little Mary Fagan.
That's the book, yes. Yeah. I have that around somewhere. Mm. I should dig that out amidst all of my books that are packed away. But, yeah, again, now that's a perfect example, Bob, of how truth, how facts of history have been so distorted by selective portrayal. I'm glad you brought that up because... I hadn't thought about that case in a long, long time, and it's a perfect example, as I say.
Mike, one other thing, not for tonight, but another time. I'm going to bring up the whole concept of Holocaust blowback, and it goes deep. And these people think they can play games with people's passions. They're so arrogant. They are, I swear to God, Mike, they are going to boil in their own vitriol.
That's a good way of putting it, and that term is so appropriate there, blowback, because so many people are just simply tired of hearing about the Holocaust. You know, so tired of constantly having it rammed down their throats, and people are getting fed up with it, and that's why more and more people are starting to take a look at the facts, not the myths about the Holocaust.
Did you get my email?
Bob, what's that?
Did you get my emails?
My computer is down, Bob.
Oh, I'll resend them.
All right, please do. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for tuning in. Apologies to those we couldn't bring up tonight. We'll be here tomorrow, God willing, and God forbid Jerry Falwell comes back from the dead. Never can tell. Maybe they'll make a hologram of Jerry Falwell. He'll pop up over Lynchburg and call for all of America to give up everything for a great jubilee for Israel. God forbid. All right, folks, stay tuned for more good programming here on the Republic Broadcasting Network.